Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
That you control, 603-283-6160. 603-283-6160 is the number for you to call if you'd like to call in about whatever is on your mind or talk about whatever we're talking about, give us your opinion, or bring up anything you want. We've been talking in the last hour about WorldCoin, a alleged cryptocurrency.
I learned a little bit about that, but go ahead.
That is causing people to verify themselves, not just by sending in an email and verifying the email or something like that, but by going in person to line up at a building and grab this orb that will be in this building. It looks like a magic eight ball, and people are putting their eyes up to it to get a retina scan in order to verify themselves and receive about $60 worth of WorldCoin.
Yeah, I was looking to find out a little bit more about it, and according to CoinGecko.com, the WorldCoin is not a cryptocurrency in that it's not its own currency. It is, however, a crypto token. So for listeners that don't know the difference, a cryptocurrency is like what they call a level one crypto, like a Bitcoin or an Ethereum or something like that. And then a token is usually built on top of an existing cryptocurrency. So the Ethereum blockchain, which is currently the number two blockchain in the world, right after Bitcoin, Ethereum is where most of these token projects are being created. And so apparently WorldCoin, at least at this point, is just an Ethereum token, which there's a bunch of those out there. So it doesn't, like, there's no new technology that's involved here or anything like that. It's just an Ethereum token, just like, you know, what are some of the other ones? Shiba Inu, for instance, which took the world by storm for about 3 months, 2 years ago and shot up real high in value and then hasn't done anything since then. But there's that one that Kim Kardashian was pimping that she got in trouble for. Yes, somebody's, and again, anybody who wants to can just go and create a Ethereum token. It costs very, very little, and apparently they're going to make 10 is it billion? 10 billion WorldCoin are going to be put into circulation, maybe to start. They could change that down the line, but that's all it is right now. Now, they do on their website claim that this is going to be decentralized. It's going to be developed openly. They're talking about a decentralized autonomous organization. So it sounds like they've got big plans for this.
It's just kind of silly because it's like it doesn't sound needed. There's already things with decentralized autonomous organizations that are not only tokens. It makes it even weirder to me that I got that notification on my phone from crypto.com saying, like, you should buy some WorldCoin. It's really skyrocketing. Check this out. And that's just weird. Like, they obviously paid for some kind of an advertisement.
Yeah, could very well
Never
be.
Seen them, Crypto.com, give me any other ads like that. But we have Major Pan here with his theory about why they're doing this retina scan of the orb to get a cryptocurrency. Because, I mean, there's
apparently
some issue
with
that.
Apparently it's an iris scan.
Too.
I don't know if that's different. Is an iris scan retina different from a retina scan?
I don't know.
I don't know.
You're on the line, Major Pan.
They're both better than your fingerprints.
Mm-hmm.
Your fingerprints can change over the years with scars and, you know, broken digits and whatnot. But, you'll see a guy that you haven't seen for 40 years and he'll totally have physically changed because you can still recognize his eyes.
Okay.
This is a fact because it's happened to me. But as far as this retina scan, I think this is all a felony fishing expedition. The Europeans have been collecting retina scans for years, just like fingerprints.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're stupid enough to go give them your eyeball and your address and say, send me $30, and sure, it's their $30 is going to show up there, and there's going to be a Bobby and a Lori with them. Bonnie's probably too young to remember this, but in Philadelphia, and I think it was Florida, too, they sent out notifications to all these known felons. That, hey, you want a big screen colored TV? Just come on down and collect. Florida is a big, fat speedboat. And you'd be surprised how many of these idiots went down to claim their damn prizes.
Yeah, it was an intelligence test. I remember hearing about that story.
I've never heard of that. But if they had the addresses of the felons, why didn't they ever go and get them?
Because why not just let them come to you? It's a lot easier.
Yeah.
Well, less dangerous.
Shooting fish in a barrel.
Indeed.
Shooting fish in a barrel.
So I'm taking it you're not going to go sign up for the free $60 worth of crypto?
No, I think not. By the time I had to stand in line, I could probably make $60.
And apparently there are some lines. There is a video that was shared by the founder of this company, Sam Altman, who shows, I don't know, a couple blocks worth of people waiting in line in what appears to be an Asian country to scan their irises in order to receive what is apparently 25 WorldCoin. Right now they're valued at about $2.30 a piece, and so that's just under $60 worth of WorldCoin.
And if I was
hard enough up where I was having to sell my plasma to get a burger, maybe, but no. I'm never giving up any of my personal data that I don't have to the friggin' government.
That makes a good point that it probably isn't all about the money. It probably isn't all about the $60. I mean, that's pretty funny to think, oh, you're giving up your personal information for only $60. I think another part about it is just the wanting to be a part of something. Like, I've never seen this before. I want to do it. It's new. I want to be a part of it.
Well, I mean, I guess it would depend on your economic circumstances, right? So it is possible that this is going to attract more poorer people because for them, $60 might mean, you know, getting to eat this week or something.
Yeah, but do they even
like
know how to spend cryptocurrency?
Well, I don't know.
There's a quote from Benjamin Franklin that pretty much puts this to the point. He says, those that give up essential liberties for a little perceived safety deserve neither.
True. Good point.
Well, thank you for the call, Major Payne. I just think it's ridiculous to give up your personal information for any of these things when you can just use something that won't ask for your personal information and it works.
Okay, so I'm going to play devil's advocate here to some extent, Bonnie, because you'd made an interesting point before we took Major Payne's call, and that was that what do we need this for? There's already a zillion cryptocurrencies. Why is this one different? And while it is just an Ethereum token, and anybody can go and roll up their own Ethereum token tonight if they want to, if you want a billion Bonnie coin, you can just go and, you know, create it. Doesn't mean it will be worth much, but you can make it. And to their credit, this coin is already worth over $2, so the market is saying to some extent that there's some value to what they're proposing to do.
Yeah,
and what they're proposing to do is to create a world identification. So WorldCoin isn't as much a crypto token. It has a crypto token, but the idea is to have identity assigned to humanity, essentially. And specifically, the guy who runs this company, who also runs OpenAI, he's saying in the future, or in the relatively near future, we're going to need a way to discern the difference between humans and artificial intelligence. And so essentially, he's pitching this by saying, if you want to be able to prove you're a real person on the internet, then you're going to need this.
That's just stupid. Just go on websites that don't, you know, ask you to prove that you're a real person and ignore that crap.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be websites you're still going to have to, like, if you want to log into a bank website or something like that. They may end up requiring stuff like
but
this.
But will they when they future? Can't even get to the point where enough Americans, after Americans went in, said, sure, I don't mind my DNA being changed. I'll take the cryptocurrency or the vaccine. Even after that, they haven't gotten to a place where they can require real ID.
No, that is true.
Having to push that back.
That's true. And banks, of course, are a terrible example of companies as far as adopting technology because they're slow and stupid as well. But he does make an interesting point. It's not a persuasive one to me. I'm not ready to go sign up for WorldCoin here. But let me tell you a little bit more about it, and then you can decide, Bonnie, what you think about it. So according to WorldCoin, advances in artificial intelligence have made it increasingly difficult to tell whether online activity, written text, digital artwork, or really anything that exists on the Internet came from real humans or AI. The company proposes to help resolve this confusion by deploying a sort of digital passport based on what it calls proof of personhood. The goal is simple.
That's a legal term.
Is it?
Person.
The word person. So the goal is simple, a global financial and identity network based on proof of personhood, said Altman. He says it feels especially important in the AI era. I'm hopeful WorldCoin can contribute to conversations about how we share access, benefits, and governance of future AI systems. The article here at Forbes says WorldCoin's platform verifies a user's identity by scanning their iris to create personal, secure identification codes. The codes are saved on a decentralized blockchain, and the company claims they cannot be duplicated or spoofed to create false identities or engage in fraud. But I guess what I don't understand is, and I have not looked deeply into this, if you were to go through this process, first of all, you have to physically go to a place. There's apparently as many as a couple dozen cities now that have these world coin orbs that you were describing as a magic eight ball looking thing. They're all chrome, and you have to stare at it for some amount of time as it scans your iris. And then you're signed up. You've given it some other form of way to contact you. I don't know how that works exactly. The video that we saw, Bonnie, shows people scanning their phone. So, like, they're holding something up. Maybe they're downloading the WorldCoin app because they do have some sort of a wallet app or whatever. So you create an account on the wallet app. You scan it into this orb, and then you scan your eyes. To their credit, they're not asking people to show any other form of ID. So you don't have to, like, show it your government identification or anything like that.
Then why can't I just go sign up and say, hey, my name is Nikki Sunshine?
You could. You could say whatever you wanted as far as your name is concerned. But the point that they're what they're doing here is they are cataloging humans based on their irises. But later on, you'll see they claim to not save your iris information. Now, I don't know if there's any reason to believe that claim, but that is what they're saying. They're saying they're only using this data to ensure you don't sign up for WorldCoin more than one time. Because that would be an obvious way to try to scan this system, right? As you go and sign up more than once and you get more than 25 WorldCoin or whatever, right? So the way that they would do that is, do you remember hearing about hashing during the Crypto 6 trial?
That it creates some kind of a math question.
Yeah, so essentially a hash is like a computer code that's unique to any given computer file. And that could be true about your iris data, right? So if your iris data is unique data, if it's true that they're not saving the iris data, what they can do is they can make a hash from your iris data. And so from the hash code, if they just save the hash code, they don't actually have your iris data. They had it, but then they supposedly deleted that, and they just saved the hash code. So if you then show up and you try to scan your iris at a different orb, and you say, well, I'm new to this, so I want another 25 WorldCoin, they'll check your hash against the other hashes they have in the system, and they'll know
you've already done it. You still haven't really answered my question. Like, if I can sign up and say I'm anyone, then how does it verify anything?
It verifies that you really went and did this, that you are in their system. You can only have one account.
Okay, but it's like for not getting the other $60, but that's like not as big of a deal as what I'm saying. It's not like it's really verifying anything if I can say I'm anyone.
That's correct. Yeah, they don't know who you are, at least according to what I've seen here. They're just trying to prove that you're a human. That's all they're doing, at least at this stage. Whether other things come later, what other things they have in mind, I don't know. So they scan your iris, they save the data on a blockchain, and they claim it can't be spoofed or duplicated. But that's, you know, the part that's really confusing to me, because, like, why couldn't some human scan their information into the system and then just turn it over to an AI? How is it that the AIs would be prohibited from getting this data and using it to pretend like they're a human online? That part I don't understand at all.
I just think people should get over wanting to be online and never encountering AI stuff. Just get not stupid, and if you have a real question about something you're seeing, ask someone in real life in some capacity.
Sure, no doubt about it. So WorldCoin is a digital identification platform, they say, that aims to provide each person on Earth with a convenient way to verify they're a real human and not a bot or an AI algorithm. The company building WorldCoin, which is called Tools for Humanity, co-founded by Sam Altman, who is better known for creating ChatGPT. He, ironically, has played a central role in sparking the current AI gold rush, which has significantly worsened the very problem that WorldCoin proposes to solve. WorldCoin has built its digital passport system using the cryptographic and blockchain tools that support the wider world of cryptocurrency. It also supports the WLD crypto token plus a payments platform. So how does it work? Well, think of it as a three-legged stool, they say at Forbes. It only works if people adopt and use three mutually reinforcing components. One, World ID, which is the heart of what they say the platform is. They claim it will enable users to verify their humanness while maintaining their privacy. This so-called proof of personhood is created by the iris scanning device called the Orb. Much like fingerprints, your iris pattern is different from every other human's. The Orb scans your iris and uses its structure to create a unique identification code called an iris code. That code is not associated with your personal information. It, they say, exists to solely prevent people from acquiring more than one world ID.
So you don't, like, have to give a name?
That's, I'm not sure. Having not signed up for this, as you said, you could probably give them whatever name that you wanted to if they ask for a name, because you're not required to show any ID. After the Orb scans your iris and saves the code, it then issues you your world ID. It also permanently deletes, so they claim, each iris image. The system does not depend on pointing scanners at your eyeballs each time you need to verify your identity. Your world ID is added to the WorldCoin blockchain, and users deploy a cryptographically secure app
and
to identify themselves.
And if their recycling bin got hacked?
Yeah.
Where they immediately deleted all the iris information, too.
Right, yeah. You can't trust these people to do what they say they're going to do, even though they claim they're closed source. Well, right. OpenAI is closed source. Now, they're claiming WorldCoin is an open project.
But they only said it will be open, not that it is now.
I'm not sure if it is now or not. And either way, I don't know how you can trust that they're deleting these files. There's just simply no way to verify that is the case. They claim that besides your world ID, the app can hold Bitcoin, Ethereum, and USDC. So they're trying to make just a general crypto wallet that will include the WorldCoin as well. And then there's also this WLD cryptocurrency token, which is issued to users who took part in their beta program. It was airdropped to users Monday as part of their official launch, and crypto exchanges have already listed WLD for trading, including KuCoin and Binance, which is the world's largest exchange. A total of 10 billion WLD will be issued over the course of 15 years, and there's about 143 million of them circulating right now. And as we learned earlier, you will be given approximately 25 of these coins if you are willing to go and sign up. Now, there's criticisms, of course, of WorldCoin, and they do summarize a few of them here, including Vitalik Buterin, who is the founder of Ethereum, that after launching expressed his concerns about WorldCoin in a blog post. Buterin said the platform's iris scans could be harvesting more information than the company is letting on, or that someone could potentially scan someone else's iris in order to determine whether they had a world ID. An April 2022 MIT Technology Review article claimed that WorldCoin, quote, used deceptive marketing practices, collected more personal data than it acknowledged, and failed to obtain meaningful informed consent. That's according to MIT. The company, however, issued a 25-page rebuttal to MIT's review, saying, quote, we want to make it very clear that WorldCoin is not a data company and our business model doesn't involve exploiting or selling personal user data. WorldCoin is only interested in a user's uniqueness, i.e. that they have not signed up for WorldCoin before, not their identity. WorldCoin's been criticized for widely promoting the platform in the developing world. A significant portion of new users are in Asia and Africa, raising concerns about exploitation, which is why I said earlier, you know, what if this is something that is, you know, $60 for people in the United States isn't as big of a deal as compared to $60 for someone in Africa. If you're making a dollar a day in Africa or $2 a day, then $60 is a significant amount of money. That is a big deal. That's probably worth standing in line for.
Yeah.
But is it worth giving up your iris scan for? That's another question. The video that Sam Altman posted was from some Asian country with people literally wrapping around a block waiting in line to go scan these their ID or scan their irises. Rich people, are they going to be as interested in this? What's going to, you know, bring the richer people of the world into the fold? Are they going to be excited about WorldCoin? Because you'd have to just be an excited tech geek to think that $60 was worth, especially standing in a line for an hour to go and get signed up for this thing. So you don't sound like you're too interested in this, Bonnie.
No, I don't really care if somebody posts things online saying they're me. But then again, I said this before, and Mark said that I shouldn't say that. It sounds Chris Cantwell-y of me, he said. But I'm already unemployable, so I look at the world a lot different than a lot of people. I don't care if someone posts something pretending to be me. I can see why someone else would care. Like, I used to have this friend that used to say, like, I can't have any compromising videos of me, because what if I want to, like, run for president one day? And I would always just be like, that's so stupid. Like, no one cares that you drank alcohol. I don't know. I just have always been of this opinion. Like, I don't care if someone makes a video saying they're me. I can just be like, wasn't me. I just don't get this craze. Like, if you're not president right now, the video of you saying something isn't going to, like, end the world. And you can always put a video out saying it wasn't you. I don't know.
Well,
I just
right
don't
now,
get this.
It's easier than ever to make fake videos. So the whole idea that you can protect yourself from this is absurd, because anybody who's got the deepfake technology, which is becoming even more accessible and even cheaper to do, can easily make, there can easily be a fake Ian video or a fake Bonnie video out there. And all you'll ever be able to do is say, well, that wasn't me, because you won't be able to prove either way. It'll be so persuasive, it'll be so good, it'll look so real. It's not quite to that point yet, but probably within the next year or two, probably before the election, you're going to see crazy good deepfakes of Joe Biden and Donald Trump and all these characters.
You know, that's right. So because of that, we should just throw out the whole voting process. It's no good anymore.
No, that'd be great. So they apparently, according to Cointelegraph, are actually having a tough time. So despite the fact that the owner of this company had posted a video showing a huge line of people, Cointelegraph.com is saying that they are slowing down. There's not a lot of people who are willing to sign up for this WorldCoin thing.
In fact, that's why when you said it was already $2 earlier, I was just thinking, well,
that might
for
be
how
the
long?
Peak.
Yeah, that might be the peak.
According to a report published by South China Morning Post, the three designated locations in Hong Kong only had about 200 signups on the first day.
Doesn't sound like a lot. What do you think? Would you sign, scan your iris for this thing? It's Free Talk Live.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
U.S. USA News Update. A former U.S. intelligence official says the U.S. government is in possession of UFOs.
While testifying before a House subcommittee Wednesday, David Grush said he knows that's the case based on dozens of classified interviews within the intelligence community.
I was informed of a multi-decade UAP crash retrieval and reverse engineering program, to which I was denied access to those additional read-ons when I requested it.
Grush added that he's faced brutal retaliation for coming forward. Two former Navy pilots also shared their firsthand encounters with UFOs, claiming the technology they witnessed was far beyond the capabilities of the U.S. military. I'm John Schaefer.
The Mega Millions jackpot keeps growing, with no grand prize winner in Tuesday night's drawing. The game's top prize has grown to at least $910 million ahead of Friday's drawing. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
That you control, and you can call in at 603-283-6160 for whatever is on your mind. Bring up whatever you want or talk about what we're talking about. It doesn't matter. It's Free Talk Live. And actually, we're going to do just that. It's me, Bonnie, in the studio.
And it's Ian.
And we're going to go to Sarah in New Mexico. What's on your mind, Sarah?
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to bring up that a couple years ago, like 5 years ago, they're going to build a $500 million worth of community center in a very wealthy neighborhood, and we opposed it and stopped it from building it.
Why?
Well, it's just not there. I mean, it would have took me 3 buses to go to that community center. And then I'm in a poor neighborhood. We don't even have a library. We just barely keep a library or anything open there. And I thought it was so unfair. But I think beggars can't be choosers. You know, the hindsight, I would have supported that now, because it would have been a public access. It's a community. It's a community center. So even if it's a wealthier neighborhood, poor people could have still used it, you know?
So you've changed your mind, is what you're saying?
Yeah, because it sounds like what you're saying is since people said we don't want it built in that neighborhood, it's now not getting built at all?
That's correct. We stopped, my community stopped it because of unfairness. I mean, how can they afford a half a million?
So now you're feeling sorry after you advocated this thing not be built where you didn't want it to be built, but now it's not being built, period, and now you're sad about that?
And she said that beggars can't be choosers. Mm-hmm. Call herself a beggar.
That's right. Having some kind of a community access, another access, the beggars can't be choosers. You're right. Mm-hmm. Even if I had to take 3 buses to get there, I would have been entitled to another, instead of what they had, they would have had another one.
What sort of things were supposed to be happening? I mean, what was the plan for this thing? What events would have been attracting you to get on the city bus and go out there?
Well, they were supposed to have a skateboard park. It was supposed to be, like, worth half a million. Like,
but you're not a skating person, right? Like, you don't go skateboarding.
Right, they would have a community room, they would have a gym, they would have, like, public showers for the gym, they would have maybe a computer room, the usual same thing as a community center. If you wanted to have a meeting, have some kind of a neighborhood meeting, you're entitled as long as you book it. Mm-hmm.
And so, are you a workout person? Do you go to the gym?
No, I am not a workout person, mm-hmm. but I've seen a community center in the wealthier neighborhood.
Do you think, hold on, before you go on, I'm just curious. I just want to see what's interesting about this to you. So you wouldn't likely start using the gym if there was a gym there?
No, I wouldn't, but they have sitting areas where you could...
Sitting.
Like tables where you could study, mm-hmm. Chairs for you to relax.
Yeah, but isn't there like a library you could go to if you wanted to study things? I mean, they have that already, don't they?
But this is going to be in addition. They do have a community center.
How far away is the library to your house?
Pretty close.
Pretty close. Okay, so if you want to go study and sit down in a chair, you could go to the library right now. Yeah, okay. I'm just trying to see what this thing is bringing to the table that is interesting to Sarah. So the gym part, not so much. Sitting down, I mean, you can do that in a lot of places. You kind of already have that.
You probably have a chair at your house.
Yeah, whatever the other thing was that you said you weren't interested in. Oh, the skateboard park. So there was a computer room, and we know from your previous calls, Sarah, that you're not particularly computer-oriented. So I don't think you're going to go there. I mean, you're not going to go there to use a computer, right?
Not really, but what I like about...
And hold on, just to clarify before you go on. Most libraries these days have computers.
Yeah,
now, I mean,
point.
Albuquerque is a pretty big city. I'm presuming there's computers available for public use at the library, right?
Well, they gave out free tablets for $10.
At the library?
No, just hand them out and take them home. You don't even have to go to the library to get use a computer.
Free tablets for $10? That makes sense. That's what she said.
She said that, yeah. How is it a free tablet for $10? That's a great question, Bonnie.
Well, they want that much to register, and you're good for, like, 3 years, and you have access to computers. So I think they came up with that with the COVID. So then the public library accesses were all closed down for a while. So this is what, it's like the same thing as a free phone, but it's a free tablet.
Okay, but it's $10.
Well, it's still way cheaper than...
I mean, it's almost free, but it's not...
A tablet would be. It's
not really
free.
So just to clarify, are these tablets, you're basically, are you checking out the tablet from the library for $10 and that you have to return it within 3 years? Or is it that you're buying the tablet and you never have to bring it back?
Right, it's a freebie, but not really. As long as you pay $15, it's yours and it works for 15 years. As long
now it's $15.
I don't know. It's $10
the
or
price
$15.
Just okay. It's $10 or $15. But what you're saying is you don't have to bring it back to the library 3 years later or something. Okay, so they're selling these things, but they still have computers at the library, right? Like you could just go and sit down at a computer.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay, so what is it that this community center is really bringing to the table that you feel was necessary?
Well, what I thought wasn't necessary, when I went to the North of Mingabaca, it was pretty crowded when it was like 103 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be another additional, more space for me, for people to use it as like a cooling center.
A cooling center.
Well, Sarah is not homeless now, but she used to be homeless, so maybe the point is just a place to go in the daytime that is not the Albuquerque, New Mexico heat.
That's correct. It's another additional place to go. And I don't want to be with a bunch of homeless people in a cooling center. This is more like a senior center, community, a little bit upgrade, a little bit.
Even when you were a homeless person, Sarah?
Well, you know, they don't tolerate, like, shopping bags. And, like, if you're really too smelly, they'll tell you to go to the other homeless cooling centers. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's the benefits of it. Now, in the hindsight, it would have been better to have something than better than nothing. Again, beggars can't be choosers.
Right. And because it was the rich neighborhood, maybe there wouldn't be as many stinky homeless people.
Right. That was another thing I wanted to bring up to Sarah. Like, Sarah's big thing is she doesn't want young homeless women to be victims of trafficking and stuff like that, you know, getting propositioned to become prostitutes and stuff like that. But if they were able to go to the one at the rich people neighborhood, there'd probably be a lot less of that than if it was built in a poor neighborhood where no one cares what's going on outside of it.
Tolerate that. Yeah, that, I don't think pimps would be too tolerated, you know what I mean,
right,
up that area.
Well, I'm glad you were able to change your mind, Sarah. I mean, that's a nice thing to be able to do. On a topic. I don't know if I don't support building the community center with government or taxpayer money. I think if people want to have a pool, or if people want to have a cooling room, or if people want to have the skateboard park, they ought to raise the money on their own. The rich people sure as hell can raise the money on their own and build themselves a little park or a building or whatever, a big building, if that's what they want to do. I mean, so this is something that can totally be done without using the government.
Maybe this will just give Sarah a lesson in being a busybody to think before she busybody. Thank you for
You know what? Yeah, I you know what? Now I realize that you know what? If I don't know something that well, don't oppose things.
All right. I That's like great, that. Sarah. That's a good lesson to take away from this, Sarah. Good
and
on
thank you.
You
for your call.
Yep. Stay out of other people's business. Although that's the problem with government. I mean, the thugs, the killers, the mafia, they are other people's business because they're stealing from everyone. So, I mean, if they're stealing from you, then you absolutely have a right to have an opinion about something. But I guess maybe Sarah's saying maybe she should learn about a thing before she develops an opinion about it.
Right. I mean, the main thing you should always be advocating is to stop letting the parasites called government steal from people. If you're starting off from that basis, you'll get, hopefully, more done than just saying, oh, I don't want it built here, I want it built here.
Yeah, it'll still suck because it's a government project, so like a lot of things, it'll start out, it'll be all brand new and shiny, and within a matter of years, it'll be run down, and people there will be depressed, and it'll be absolutely awful.
Well, before Sarah called in, we were talking about this WorldCoin, this coin where people can scan their IDs.
Scan their iris, specifically.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Scan their eyes, their iris in their eyes to get a picture so that way they can prove that they are themselves and prove that they're not duplicated. And that's all really weird. But the thing about it is people want a way out of the dollar. Are people that desperate to get out of the dollar
no.
and use something else?
No, these are people who are not. I suspect the majority of the people who are signing up for WorldCoin probably just want to convert it into dollars or something like that. How many of them? Like, for instance, when El Salvador introduced in September of 2021, they went Bitcoin. They had a Bitcoin legal tender law that got put into place, and they were giving away, I think it was about $30 at the time, worth of Bitcoin to anyone who would sign up. And of course, they had to show ID in order to get into this because they didn't want people signing up more than once. And most of the people who signed up got their $30 worth of Bitcoin. They went to the nearest Bitcoin vending machine and they converted the Bitcoin into cash. And that was the end of their experience with Bitcoin. So I suspect that's happening in this particular case. But whatever. I mean, it's not interesting to me. I don't want to give up that kind of biometric data.
It really doesn't seem like, to answer my own question, it doesn't really seem like anybody interested in this WorldCoin is really somebody who's interested in cryptocurrency for the reason it's important.
No, I think you're right about that.
For the reason that it is revolutionary, which is to get out of the dollar. I only bring it up, though, because the IRS, they call themselves a service, a company? They're not a company.
No, it's government thugs.
Well, they're government thugs, but I don't know what you would call them. A
revenue collection agency? I mean, that's all they do.
Agency?
Yeah.
That is all about finding out your information and taking money from you, taking your spending power or your time away from you in the form of the dollars that you earn for doing a job.
Yeah, I think they calculate that it's like April or something. April or May is how long the average American has to work.
From January to April?
Yeah, in order to pay the federal tax burden they have.
Well, that agency is now afraid of you. They're too afraid of you to knock on doors as much anymore.
Hmm.
I had actually...
They never knocked on mine until they bashed in the house with a bear cat.
Exactly. I was going to say, I had never heard of this practice that the IRS apparently used to do. Well, they're still going to do it, but not as much.
Hmm.
Of knocking physically on people's doors at addresses they believe somebody might live in order to collect. I had never heard of this.
Is it to collect or to gather information?
Well, still, either way, mm-hmm. It's ultimately to collect. But I never heard of this at all. And considering the fact that you, Ian, were charged with four counts, or was it one count?
Four counts.
Four counts of tax evasion. I mean, you would think that we would have gotten a knock of...
No, not even a letter.
Something like that, in order to find out that they believed that you owed them money, but... No, apparently they do this. They knock on people's doors, and we'll get into exactly why here in a minute. Mm. And now they're saying that they're not going to do it anymore because of risk. And I think that's a pretty good sign. Says, this is from Zero Hedge. IRS ends most unannounced agent visits to taxpayers' homes.
Huh, wait, you mean people don't want to talk to the IRS? I'm shocked.
Or they might not respond too kindly to it?
Mm-hmm.
The IRS has announced a major yet common sense policy change that will put an end to most unannounced agent visits to taxpayers' homes, mostly because of security concerns.
Well, I hope they fire the agents, since they obviously aren't necessary.
Well, they just hired like 70,000 last year, right?
Yeah, that's right.
The move, effective immediately, reverses decades of policy that saw IRS revenue officers knock on the doors of taxpayers' homes without forewarning in attempts to resolve delinquent tax matters.
Wow.
The reason for the change, according to a statement by the agency, is to lower the risk that anxiety-provoking surprise home visits by tax enforcement agents could spiral out of control.
Is it the concern that the agents are anxious or that the tax victims are anxious?
Probably both, but I think that in that sentence it meant the person who gets a surprise visit is anxious.
I think it means that the agents are the ones that are anxious. They're the ones who are... I mean, obviously, the people on the other side of the door, the victims of the IRS, are... likely to be feeling pretty anxious in a circumstance like that.
I don't think that's what I meant in this sentence, because...
But I don't think the IRS cares about those people.
But it does, in this case, and it says anxiety-provoking surprise home visit. So it means the surprise causes people anxiety, and because of that, it may, quote, spiral... No, it may... It's not they're saying, we don't like giving you anxiety, and you didn't let me finish the sentence. It says... anxiety-provoking surprise home visits by tax enforcement agents could spiral out of control, posing a hazard to both taxpayers and agency field officers.
Yeah, that's all they care about. They don't care about the people in the houses. They don't care if they're causing them anxiety anything like that.
This article never said that they did. They just are saying since they are causing anxiety to people, it's causing concern for safety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all they care about is their agents' well-being. They don't care about the taxpayers.
They probably did add in both the taxpayer and the agency, and they really care about the field agency. But they were never saying, we're afraid of giving you anxiety because we care about you. They weren't saying that. Experience shows that unannounced door knocks at homes and businesses were high-risk encounters, with agents routinely facing hazards and uncertainty while making surprise visits, according to the IRS.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Unannounced visits also created what the IRS called public confusion and posed risks to taxpayer safety. Quote,
to taxpayer safety. Uh-huh.
These visits created extra anxiety for taxpayers already wary of potential scam artists, IRS Commissioner Danny Werfel said in a statement. At the same time, the uncertainty around what IRS employees faced when visiting these homes created stress for them as well. This is the right thing to do and the right time to end it. Unquote.
Oh, yeah. The IRS, all of a sudden, concerned about the right thing to do. Well, if they really are concerned about the right thing to do, they can just disband the agency and all go home.
Yep.
Because, honestly, it's not even necessary. As far as the federal government system is concerned, the IRS, as I understand it, what they do is they collect money that pays down the interest on the national debt. That's all. It doesn't go to actually running the quote-unquote government. It doesn't run the federal agencies or anything like that. It just goes to pay down the national debt and the interest on the... Or sorry, not pay down the debt, but pay the interest on the national debt.
Which is never-ending, so it's like they could probably just do
it
another way.
They could just abolish the IRS and they could just print the money if they wanted to.
The other thing about it is... What causes people more money yearly than doing taxes? Or anxiety, I'm about to say.
That's a big one.
It's a huge thing. Like, just the other day, I saw some art on Instagram that this guy I like to follow called, I wish I could remember his name right now, and I don't want to say it wrong.
Mm.
But he creates all this art that's, like, kind of about existential crises.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them showed a little guy being anxious with a to-do list, and his to-do list was on his computer. The first thing said
taxes.
Forms.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, like, something that would be a archetypal thing that causes anxiety.
For sure. I mean, because
so they
don't care
about causing anxiety.
You know that, first of all, you know what you don't know, and you sure as hell don't know the tax code. I mean, not even attorneys can possibly know the tax code. It's so complicated. So the idea that you can somehow get through this process without making some sort of mistake, that they then want you to sign saying you're swearing it's true under the penalties of perjury, that's a pretty intense process, right? Like, yeah, it's just paperwork, but if you put your name on that and there's something that's false on there, whether you intended it to be false or not, they can come after you.
Yeah.
They can put you in prison for that.
And not only that, it's just extra work on top of the work you got to do, and that causes anxiety because you don't feel like doing it. You put it off.
Right.
And you have to do it whether
you don't get paid
into
for
it. I mean, it's not hard to use Intuit, but it kind of is because you got to grab, if you've had a whole bunch of different jobs that year or something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Lots of papers.
You got to grab a whole bunch of different W-2s, and it can be even more complicated if you do something like Uber Eats and you need to make sure that you had...
Don't forget to factor in buying crypto. They want to know about that now. And what you're talking about is like the 1040 EZ form, right? That's the one that's... the easy one to do. Everything else is even more complicated. This is why people hire accountants and things like that, or CPAs, in order to handle their taxes for them, because you got a house and then you got to deal with whatever the hell you have to deal with there. What if you rent out a house to somebody else? I think the more different ways that you have to make money, the more complicated these things get.
You might get audited even if you find a way to do it, and that's not very stress inducing. You might still get audited, and that's stress-inducing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it says, the common sense step. Part of the problem, according to the IRS, is that there has been a rise in recent years of scam artists posing as IRS agents, creating confusion for both taxpayers and local law enforcement.
Well, that's a fair point. I will give them that one. There are a lot of scams out there. I don't know how many of them are door-to-door scams.
That's pretty brazen.
It is pretty brazen. That doesn't mean it doesn't happen. I mean, I would believe that it does happen.
The change comes amid the IRS's recent rollout of a new strategic operating plan, which seeks, in part, to put a kinder face on the tax enforcement agency.
Oh, I can't wait to see what they come up with to propagandize people about this. Your friendly neighborhood tax man.
Yeah, what a stupid, I don't know, I just hate every time I hear this, like, corporate lingo, like... We have our strategic operating plan.
Mm-hmm.
Just annoying.
Yeah, I mean, is anybody really going to buy this one? I understand that they can propagandize people about the police, and they can propagandize people about the military, and there's a lot of these, you know, the government agencies that purportedly do good things some of the time. But this is like trying to make the parking enforcers look good.
Well, even, like, since the dawn of humanity, people have not liked tax.
Okay. That's what I'm saying.
The Bible isn't the dawn of humanity. It's 2,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. But even in the Bible, the tax enforcers are described as, like, lowlifes no one likes.
Jesus, absolutely.
Jesus had to be friends with tax collectors, and or not had to, but he befriended tax collectors because it was like no one would be friends with that guy.
Right. Type of thing. They should be thrown out of social circles. They should be disallowed from being able to eat at restaurants. They should be refused service at any place where they could possibly be refused service. They should be forced
to hide. Or upcharged at least.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, you're with the IRS? That'll be 100% more. They should be refused service in any place where they're known quantities, so that way they are constantly hiding what they do. Whenever they admit at a family dinner or something like that or on a date that they're an IRS agent, people should get up and walk out on them so they would never actually feel any pride whatsoever in the thing that they do. Shame on those people.
I know, like my sister's boyfriend works for the IRS, and I always say that she's totally his karma.
Wow. Your crazy sister?
Yeah. It says, we are taking a fresh look at how the IRS operates to better serve taxpayers as if they serve people. And the
Internal Revenue Service serves the federal government,
the government.
That's who they are serving. They're literally serving them with revenue. That is what their job is. You are their victim. You don't serve a victim. You victimize that person. And what they're saying here is they're trying to put a happy face on the victimization process. They want to somehow get people to think it's something other than what it is. And I think they're going to fail.
They said, making this change is a common sense step. Changing this long-standing procedure will increase confidence in our tax administration work and improve overall safety for taxpayers.
Work.
I know, that's what I also laughed at.
They have you do the work for them. You have to do the calculations. You have to do the paperwork. They just process it. That's all they do.
Somebody I know said that they used to work they were an accountant, and so they were in an office with other accountants, and they made a game out of when they themselves were stuck on something they were supposed to call IRS agents.
Mm-hmm.
They made a game out of everyone calling and asking the same question and everyone giving different answers.
Yeah.
No one knows the actual answer.
There's actually been studies done on this.
There's hardly any actual work going on.
Where they will actually call the IRS and they will ask, like, there's like the 10 most frequently asked questions, essentially. They have that information's out there, right? What are the most asked questions that IRS gets asked? And they would ask the most common questions. And you would think the agents would know. And they would still get what you're talking about.
Because the most important thing is not about filling out the forms correctly, but about compliance. Mm-hmm. It's all about you complied, you gave us your money, you gave us your information. Well, that's it for the night. This has been Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. Call in any night to bring up whatever is on your mind, because we care about free speech. Peace.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family family's health insurance, it's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.